think about and the document that we are ministering out of as we continue our discourse in the essence of drawing a distinct comparison between what is and what seems to be. Everyone repeat after me from the document. Scripture comprehensions of measures.
Scriptural comprehensions
of measures. The matrix. Let's go to page 20 today. I think we can now move forward. Last couple of two outings before you, we reprised some things. And as we shall also do this morning, there are a few things we shall reiterate regarding the matrix. For those that are watching by way of the webcast, you can go into the audio or the video webcast section, and there's an icon there. You click on in this document, some 60-page part one regarding the matrix. Let's turn to page 20. And also take your Bibles and turn. See, Elder, I think Elder Liverman is our designated reader this morning. For the Elder and all the rest, let us turn to Second Corinthians, I should say. Chapter 1, it's going to focus on verse 12. We got some time constraints this morning. We started a little later. We have previously exegeted this verse. We come back to it again this morning to sort of tie everything in together. Regarding the essence of life and the purpose of that we have this dissertation before us is an exercise of separating the factual reality of life from the illusions that we find ourselves party to, based upon the fact that we have failed to understand a few things. Remember, in our one thing that we will reprise is the section up there in Colossians chapter 1, where they are dealing with knowledge, and Paul says, and just turn the page for a second, just at the bottom. We're not going to get into this. I'm determined to get where I'm going this morning in spite of the time constraint and burden that is on us. Notice where it says specifically there, the third paragraph. Prior to Paul conveying through the mystery that creation is in us, it's not in us, salvation is in Christ, but that creation is where? In Christ, in Him. Now, in the preamble leading up to that, he coins three phrases. The first one is in verse 6. The next one is in verse 9. And the last one is in the phrase in verse 10. We just read that for a second. Specifically, you got where I am. In-depth comprehension was eternally assigned to certain ones of God's people. Well, they're going to fight us on that, but amen. This is certified in various usage of the Greek word epinosis. Colossians 1 and 6 conveys the rendering in this expression, and perfectly knew of the grace of God in truth. That is to perfectly understand the grace of God in truth. In the same passage, verse 9 speaks of the full knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In fact, repeat after me. Full knowledge of God's will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10 states, and increasing to the perfect knowledge of God, of the complete, of the matured knowledge of God. Everybody repeat after me. Matured knowledge of God. Say it again. Matured knowledge of God. That is to have that real understanding. This thing is about what God is doing and what he has done versus the way we view life. On the front cover, those of you that are watching this, you see there, an illustration there of a person with a magnifying glass, and he's looking all over the world. That is what we call matrix viewing. That is a very obscure view of things. Paul said on one occasion, and we look through a glass, what? Darkly, obscurely. That's now. But then what?
Face
to face. The essence of who we are. Mm-hmm. With full knowledge and understanding.
Right.
When Paul writes in another place, and he said, concerning our lot as it relates to God, eyes have not seen, neither ears heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men, those things that God has what?
Prepared
for those loving him, or calls to loving him. But then he goes on to say, but he has what?
Revealed
to who? To us. So it is knowable. How do you know it? On the same cover, we have what we call scripture viewing. Everybody says scripture viewing. So what we would do is, as we continue, we're going to juxtapose, or we're going to compare matrix viewing with scripture viewing. In other words, compare the things that we view and observe and have conception of in life, which is really just looking down on the matrix. Looking down in life, as we call it. This is what we call life. This is of itself. It doesn't qualify for what life really is. Life means existence. Anything that does not continue to exist is not really life. But the essence of us looking down into time, into the matrix, and we see things. Now we must understand where they come from. The essence of what really is and what really abides is in the same. In God's decree. What God has said is what things are, were, and are. And these are the things that we must understand. Colossians 1:16. All things were created what?
In
Him. What? Through Him. Whether they be thorns or minions, the beginning, things that were authorized, they were all in His decree. Through Him and for Him. That's the part that we don't get. So it is in Him, through Him, for Him. Let's repeat that. In Him, through Him, for Him. That's what this thing is all about. It's not about you except what He has for you.
Come on here. That's right.
We don't occupy enough space. Even in the physical sense. For this thing to be about us. We own, even from the vantage point of time, we're on this earth for a very short period. If there had been thousands of years, then what is a venue that is less than 100 years? And even if you get to 100 years, you'll have lived 1,200 months and 36,500 and some days. That's not enough for this thing to be about us. We think life is about us. Life is not about us. It's about Him. Most of us think of things in terms of it being centered around us. Nothing is centered around us. It is all about Him. Not just about Him. It's all about Him. Our role is what He has for us in the greatest scheme of God's eternal purpose. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Pray with me, I'm laboring with some infirmities this morning. All right, Elder. Yeah, time won't allow that. Just let me go through here. And basically, we've been through this before. So some of these verses leading up to that, I will reprise those verses, and then we'll go into the essence of that verse. In this chapter, Paul writes his second letter to the church at Corinth. Basically, they were in a lot of turmoil, and he starts off speaking about the God of mercy in verse 3 and the God of comfort. The essence of where the source of our peace and comfort comes from in verse 4, as he says, He comforts us in all our tribulations. And it's through this comfort as we receive these experiences through our troubles. We are enabled to be comforted of God. And as we suffer in these things, the consolation of us being and having abounded in Christ, basically it qualifies us to be testimony in relationship to others that are going through things in life. Now, Father, this is what I'm saying. The essence of what's going on in your world right now is for purpose. Sometimes God takes us through some things so that we can be a testimony to someone else. That when they come through, the testimony is already there.
Already there.
In relationship to what you've suffered. And so God is using your suffering to minister to someone else. Is suffering. And so he's letting these Corinthians know, hey, I know whatever you guys are going through, been there, done that, and doing that. In one of these verses, and I can tell that clock is beating me up, he spoke of time that Paul did. He even despaired of life. So I just give up. You've been there, huh? Everything just seemed to be falling apart. And you say, hey, man, this, hello, Lord, hallelujah. Please, Lord, just take me away from this. Basically. But through that, in verse 7, and I hope that you be steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, you also of the consolation. Now, then he said, now remember of the trouble that we suffered in Asia and how we were pressed out and stressed. We had the sentences of death in ourselves. In verse 9. But that was that meaning purpose. That what? What he's saying here, he says that what? Look at that. That we should not trust in ourselves. God takes you through something and lets you know that you that you're helpless. So that you look to him.
There you go. Glory.
So that you don't trust in yourself.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when things are going good and so forth and everything, we almost feel like something we're doing.
That's right. That's it.
That thing is not moving that way because of something you're doing. Because sometimes you do it the same way and you get different results. Right?
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. So what did I do that I didn't do last time? You did the same thing. But it wasn't about what you were doing. You know, I teach you something, but you just goes right by. You know, because I won't think. No. No. And verse 10, he said, delivered us, and he continues to deliver us. And this is who we trust to deliver us in everything touching life. Now, the key here is that he said, you also happen together by praying for us, because that's the essence of what we have, but they're just participating in the testimony of the things on our behalf. Then he moved to verse 12. I want you to get this morning. I might be short because I'm not feeling the strongest as far as strength, but I want you to get this. You're looking at what we call life. You're looking at a field of representations on a grid that is called the matrix. All things are in him. The essence of what things are is according to what God has said in eternity. And that's where everything exists. In time of what we call life, in the matrix, these representations are placed there through the medium of light for testimony. They are manifestations of experiences that God has placed in grids and in frames. Each frame represents some nanosecond. Too small to even be measured. There's so many of them. Trillions upon trillions. And these are experiences that God has in there for each one of us for his purpose. Remember, all things were created what? In him, what? Through him, what? What does it say for us? So the things that happen in your life, it's not about you. It's about God for you. Now, our problem is when we look into the matrix, we're going by sight. Another place Paul writes, he said, we walk by faith, not by what? Greek word actually is appearance, or how things appear. We walk by faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's word. The actual saying. That these sayings are in purpose. Not by sight. Not by appearances. Not by the processes of testimonies. The essence of our life is about Him and what He has for us according to His purpose and His goodwill. So if we get to verse 12, Elder, read that first from King James and then from the Greek interlinear. And then we're going to exegete some this morning. I'm going to be a little shorter, but we're going to exegete. So that we understand why we continue to go through this exercise of comprehending what we call life, which is nothing but fields of representations and testimonial, incremental testimony, what? Depictions. For purpose. Life is not what you are doing each moment. There's not enough of those moments to qualify existence. So we must understand through God's word what He has done so that we won't be frightened concerning what we are doing. Think about that for a minute. Somebody might say, what's happening? What's happening is what has happened. And what you see as happening is part of the process of what has already happened. Think about that a minute. Otherwise, what is life? You're born, you grow up, you get your family, then you look up and your children are grown. And then you stick around a little bit and your grandchildren have grown and they've had children. And then pretty soon you're out of here. And so what has this been all about? The struggles and all of the experiences. Is everything lost when you close your eyes and you're out of here? What was this all about? This is what Paul deals with this morning. To get a handle upon what's going on. What's happening? What is this all about? Everybody got the 12th verse, amen. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. All right, read.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with the 12th verse. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity.
See, this is why we exegete. That's not what Paul said. Well, keep reading. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you.
All right, now let's go to the Greek. Interlineal.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12 in the interlinear Greek translation. For the boasting of us, this is the
testimony. All right, now say, so now this is what this is all about. Follow me now. This is what the exercise of life is about. All the things that you're going through, many of them beating you up, many of them causing you to be flung and it just dissipates our strength, frustrates us. What is this all about? Why am I going through this? Read.
For the boasting of us, this is the testimony of the conscience of us.
Stop. For the testimony of our conscience. Here, you have the Greek word there. Look close to him. We'll do a little. Now everybody go crazy. Hey, don't you want to come to the actual essence to see what he's talking about? I cannot stand here and try to explain something without first getting the correct utterance. Wrong utterance, wrong explication. Here we have the Greek word synesthesios. Synesthesios. In scientism, and some of you that may be studying young people in scientism, there's a psychological condition, a term that is coined, synesthesia. Synesthesia. That's a person who maybe one of the senses have been cut off and the others of the five kicks in to try to do what? To make up for it. In other words, if the sight is taken away, maybe the smell, the hearing is increased. It comes from the Greek seeing, which means what? Together. And anesthesia, aesthesia, which means senses. Your senses. So that is bringing the senses together. This is what Paul is saying. Now, the converse or opposite of that would be what we deal with in medical terms. You go to have an operation, of course, what they bring into a room, and then they bring in the what? Anesthesiologist. Anesthesia. That is to sever the senses. Because after all, you don't want your senses operating while that doctor is cutting on you, do you? No, while the surgeon is cutting on you, you want all them bad boys put down. In fact, that's the criteria that I told my doctor. He said, "Well, we're going to do this." I said, "Now, will I have to be awake?" He said, "No." I said, "We're going to a desk." But to bring the senses together, there are some people who have lost their sight, and through that, the sense of smell was increased until certain numbers of things smell different.
Right. That's right. Amen.
I feel different. Mm-hmm. We can hear things that others cannot hear, though I can't see My hearing is enhanced. Get where we're coming from now? All right, follow this closely now. So here, he speaks of the senses being enhanced, but he's not speaking in physicality here. For our boasting of the testimony of our senses. But then he qualifies. Read.
Because in sanctity and sincerity of God.
That's singleness. What did he? In bringing my senses together of God. Brother Deacon, you got your Greek theos God. Is that that's unity, right? You don't have okay. I take the focus, huh? Yeah. The focus here is to focus my senses to God. To bring my senses together that they focus and prioritize God. Most of us. Our senses are geared to prioritize ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, you know, we most of us, hey, I got that problem too, self-centered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to bring the senses together, where the genitive or possession here would be my senses are brought together in belonging to God. All of these things have happened, and through them, I prioritize God. To go through something and you have a deep appreciation and sense and thought of God. And that's the purpose. Now, why would God do that? Because all things are what? In him, let's go it again.
Okay,
through him, and what? For him. So it's a matter of bringing you to the essence of where things really are. And they're not in you. They're not in us. Thank God. Life is about Christ. Your life is Christ. So all of these things that he went through, as we read, as we reprieved some of those verses that we had gone through before, basically the essence of it was, why am I going through all of this?
Yeah,
to bring your senses and focus to God.
Yeah. Oh,
God.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Thank God. That's right. Amen.
That what is going on, what you call going on, and what I call going on, is light of testimonial depictions in increments on the matrix of what we call life. It's nothing but light. The essence of what is in purpose, not in what you see. Remember when Joseph told his brothers, you sold me into slavery. For you know that master could have, he owned me, he could have killed me. You meant it for evil. See, life is not but what it's not about what we mean.
Come on here.
Of what we think.
Yeah.
You're meant for evil.
Yeah.
But what?
God.
God what?
Good.
His purpose was for good.
Mm-hmm.
How could that be? Some things, you know, that's happened to me, man, there's no way no good could come out of that. I can't see that.
Yeah.
Stop trying to see. Believe based upon faith in the essence of what God has said rather than what you see. Life will wear you out. You will be one of the most miserable something anybody could ever see if that's the way you're going to live.
Oh, Hummer.
I got this ailment. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. It's not about you.
Yes.
Well, how could God bring any good out of that? How can you see it?
Oh, Lord. Thank God.
There are whole volumes that could be written across the universe.
Thank God.
Of things that I can't see.
That's it.
So the idea is that through this, not to go there. The essence is about what life is according to what God has for you. Now, do you trust Him that He has your good will at heart or your ill will at heart? Well, I think He is my good will, but see, that's the devil over there. Wait, hold on. The devil. Who is he in comparison to God? Well, if God goes away and he shows up like you know he did in the Garden of Eden, you know, he can mess up things and say, well, stay out of the Old Testament for doctrine. All things are what? In him, what?
Through
him, what? For him. So here is the bringing of the conscious of the senses together so that they will belong to God.
Yes.
How many of us, I know it's a crazy question, how many of us just do things basically with God in mind rather than with ourselves in mind? Most things that we do is with ourselves in mind. I'm going to do this with me in mind. I'm going to get this career with me in mind. I'm going to go do over here and do this and that and the other with me in mind. Even at the end of life,
amen.
I'm going to retire with me in mind. How many people retire with God in mind? And the only reason they die with God in mind is because there's no choice. That's the only. The only reason we die with God in mind because we don't have any choice. But we retire with ourselves in mind, not with God in mind.
Amen.
We raise our families. Where we live, where we work, what we do is always with us in mind. Not with God in mind. Question is your life about you or is it about him? Look at what Paul is saying here. We're bringing the senses together so that they belong to God. The testimony of our senses belong to God. You get that? All that I've gone through here, and he went through some terrible things as we see. But everybody said purpose. You lost that job. Ultimate end and purpose of it is that your senses are brought together to belong to God. You lost that house because the purpose ultimately is that your senses belong to God. You were sick, you got that illness, and it's helping you. The ultimate purpose is that your senses are brought together to belong to God. And he said, is that the Greek word? That's the term that they use. To focus on God. That's what this was all about. All right, finish that, brother. I'll be back to this next week. Oh, God. I wish I had the strength this morning. Go ahead.
Not in wisdom fleshly, but in grace of God, we behave in the world.
Okay, stop. So now, in case we don't understand the venue of the senses being brought together, belonging to God. Not in what? Not in fleshly wisdom. Not in physicality. Not in the matrix. Not in time. Not in secularity. Not in what I'm doing every day. Bring it all down. To us, what we're doing each day is the most important thing. No, it's not. And this is why we're bewildered sometimes when God takes certain of us out of the... Wow, he had such a promising career.
Right.
No, he didn't. He had reached the purpose for which he or her had entered into the matrix. He came in for a purpose, and when that purpose was fulfilled, amen, he's out of here. We belong to God. What did Paul say on another occasion? No, and then he said, whether we live or whether we die, what?
We are the Lord's.
We belong to the Lord. Whether we live, what?
We are the Lord.
What's that, the 14th chapter of Romans? Don't turn to it. 14:7, I think it is. Don't hold me to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's there.
Mm-hmm.
None of us live because of ourselves.
No.
None of us die because of ourselves.
No.
Whether we live, it is to the Lord. The reason for the living is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we die, the reason for our dying is to the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, it's to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. Our lives are about Him. Oh, they're not going to teach that. You can't fill the seats that way. You're going to focus away from the flesh, you're going to lose a lot of people.
Amen.
Jesus said, in case of if you eat my blood and drink my flesh, what?
You have no part of me.
And they say, hey, what did they do? They left me. This man is crazy. Not so much that he was focusing on him, on himself, but he was focusing away from them.
Yes.
My life is about me. No, it's not. Not in flesh and wisdom, but what?
Not in wisdom fleshly, but in grace of God.
The grace of God. What God has graced. What God has given. What is pleasing Him concerning our lives. Oh, He had such great promise. And I thought I was going to go over the world and do A, B, C, and D, and E. Yeah, that was your thought. That was your agenda. And I'm not trying to be funny here. God has the agenda.
Yes.
This is why prayers, one great component, an important component of your prayer is alignment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lord, your will is done.
Mm-hmm.
To align with His will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Life is about Christ. Life is not about us. Oh, they're not going to teach you that. Because they're afraid you're going to walk away like they did Jesus. Life is about Christ. Say, my life is about Christ.
My life is about Christ.
All right. 5 minutes and then I'm down. I want you to at least get to the beginning of that passage. And of course, the rest of that he said, and the way we have acted in the world and the way that we're acting towards you is based upon our conscience being brought together, belonging to God. Everything that we've done concerning you is in our focus of God. I want you to just think about that. And then I'm learning. I thought about that. I woke up something about maybe about 4:45 this morning. Never did get back to sleep. I was just laying there thinking. I started to jump up and start writing. No, I'll do that later. Sometimes though, I have to get up then. Especially if there are a couple of scriptures that jump out at me. But just a sober assessment. The things that I do, are they about me or are they about God? Do I do them with myself in mind or with Him in mind? Now, if everything actually belongs in eternality and nothing is in time and nothing is in the matrix, why am I prioritizing the matrix? Why am I prioritizing what I think I'm doing in this life? That's not the essence of where things remain and abide. Oh, we go through the processes. And you're going to go through and do, get up in the morning, go to work, go to school, do whatever, so forth and so on. God help us to start to thinking about doing things with Him in mind, with God in mind, rather than with ourselves first. Well, who's going to look out for me? Where are you? No, where are we? No, honest. Say, I'm in the flesh. Where are we? We're in Christ. So how is that not looking out for you if you're in Christ and you're doing things with Christ in mind? And that's because we have severed ourselves from Him. No. Let's turn to page 20. I'm sorry. Page 22. I'm jumping a little bit here. See where it says testimony, estrangements, and physicality, secularity measures the matrix. You see that? That is your enthusiasm and your excitement. That's what the word means. Enthusiasm or excitement. A prophet testimonies in the matrix are in measures. Such exhibit invariably morph deteriorations of all that are within. Now, what are we saying there? Your enthusiasm, if they are solely in the essence of what you see in life, are all tied to things that are deteriorating right before your eyes. Invariably, everything in the matrix deteriorates. Even scientism says that things start from what they say, a state of stability, and then it deteriorates into instability. Everything. But the essence of our saying, if you look at the front of this page, this document here. Don't turn to the front, but we're dealing there in Timothy. Paul writes to Timothy, and he talks about God possessing light. In corroboration, John said, "And the light shineth out of the darkness." And the darkness could what?
Couldn't
apprehend it. Everything is there is light. In scientism, you have matter and then you have antimatter. What is the antimatter? Space between matter. What we call something and nothing. But the essence of what we call something is the contrast between something and nothing. But even what we call something is nothing but light rays. There's nothing in the matrix but light. And they are all manifestations. I just finished this one paragraph. These corollary that is a resulting ravages in time represent opportunity commencing initiatory rites of distillation, though they were predetermined. It looks like things are falling apart and it's because of something you're not doing. You have neither the ability to stop things from deteriorating, to fix anything, to make anything new. None of that's in our hands. Everything is predetermined. That's why sometimes you think that you can hold that thing up and it falls apart. Other times you think it's going to deteriorate and it remains. Now I'm confused. No, don't be confused. Manifestation must follow what? Decree. Whatever God is saying. And that light is just projecting a testimony of something that's not there. You know, in the Matrix scene where the guy reached in there and he said, "Oh, boom." He said, "What?" He said, "Look." He says, "Nothing there." He said, "That's what I was trying to tell you." He said, "But I felt it." He said, "That was in your mind." The essence of life is what God has said, and everything that He has said resides in eternity. Nothing's in time, or nothing's in the matrix, but what's that again, Elder? Incremental. What? Sequential depictions. In testimonies. In frames. It's like looking into the mirror. What's in that mirror? I see myself in there. All right, reach in there and touch yourself. Better than that, if your hat's crooked, reach into the mirror and straighten it up. That's the way. There's nothing in life except testimony. Everything that actually abides and exists is an eternality. Thus, are you with me? They have an every sense of manifestation already begun, yet been decided before they entered the point of no return. So I can't reverse this. Well, you didn't start it, so that's why you can't reverse it. Because you don't control it. You can't keep it there. Neither can you make it go away. Because the testimony is there, mirroring what? The actualization, which is in the decree, which is God's saying. If that thing is a goner, it's been a goner since when? Since eternity. And you're not going to reach in time into the mirror and change it. Pastor, you're crazy. No. Hopefully you learn this, that way you won't go crazy. Just going to make the thing go a certain way. If it's not decreed, it can manifest. It can happen. On the other hand, if it's decreed, it's got to have a manifest. Because the manifestation follows what? The decree. Let's finish this up. Just a paragraph. These testimonials explain, listen to this. I want you to take this out the door with you. Personal acts of judgment and choice. While they situate the agenda on the matrix, yet their ineffectiveness cannot be avoided. So I feel helpless. That's because you are helpless. That thing comes down exactly the way God has decreed it. The thing is, do you trust that it's going to work out for your welfare? And he worketh what? All things what? The good. For what? For those that love the Lord. Those that he calls to love him, he works everything out good for you. Now the good may not manifest in the essence of what you think this should be in time, but in eternity that thing is all sewed up.
I hear you.
I want to see something in time. Well, let's stop now. Life is not about what you want to see. Paul said, he said, I fought the good fight, I finished my course, and there's what? Crown of righteousness awaiting for me at the end of time. In time. No, in eternity. Pastor, you're saying that we shouldn't want things down here? No, no. That's not what I'm saying. The scriptures teach us that we should want what he wants. Which is about what? Focusing away from yourself. Everything should be focused away from yourself. Nothing should be focused toward what I want. My life is not about what I want. I thought about that thing a couple of hours, maybe two, three hours this morning. Lord, help me gauge my life about what you want. And do things with you in mind instead of with me in mind. My plans are centered around you, not around me. That's what Paul was saying there. I'm bringing these senses together so they belong to God. Last sentence. Human compassions do not exude or instill pristine certainties or no. What such was previously subjected to yes, to what is yet experienced. So that thing that has not happened, your compassion said, we'll get together, we'll make this thing happen. Don't you dare even say what you're going to do tomorrow unless you put only what? If it's the Lord's will. That's the essence of life. But the thing is, do we trust him? Do we trust him? Is your trust in him? I remember when I was growing up, Saints used to sing a song. You can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him. You can't make, I don't know what they were thinking about when they were singing. Huh? But you can't make me doubt him in my heart. You can't make me doubt him. Why? Because I know too much about him. You can't make me doubt him in my heart. That's what this is all about. All right, we take it up next week. God bless you.